side, God is great, greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. All right, I'm going to teach something that I don't think you're going to understand. You're going to get. You're going to remember. So I'm just telling you ahead of time. So promise that you're going to pay close attention because it's simple. There's two things. One is where you do it, and the other is where God does it. Okay. Which one is the best?
The one that God does.
This one. This one is better. Why? Because you're not perfect. God's perfect. If he does something, it's always perfect. It's never leaving anything unfinished. And if he makes a promise that isn't finished, he'll surely do it. Because God is good.
Praise
all the time. And we're not. Any of the time. You've never been good. You never will be good. Ever. That is you, independent of God. But what if you had God in you? What if you were in God and God was in you? What if you were connected together? What if we put this chair in this chair? There. Then you would be in Christ. You would be in God. You would have God in you. Then you could do all things. So God made you in such a way as you can't do good without him. Because only God is good. So since only God is good, this is called passive. You don't do anything. This is called you're dead to doing. You don't do anything. You're just dead to that. In other words, you know you can't be perfect, and you know you cannot please him, and you know you can't go to heaven by doing something. So, but God can do something. He's free. He's perfect. He's smart. He's strong. He's everything you want. And he's for you always. He's never, 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 never against anybody, even sinners. Even those who sin two times in a day. He doesn't care. If he wants to love you, even though you're a sinner, he can do it. So he's not into you behaving. He's into himself keeping his promise. He's not into you behaving. Okay? So you behaving under some law is not what God wants. But you believing in his promises all the time, because God is good all the time. You're not. You're not good any of the time, actually. And you never will be unless you're in him. The only way you can do good is to have God who is good inside of you, or to you being inside of him. You're the branch, he's the tree. So he's the tree, and if you're the branch, you bear fruit. So you bear good fruit if you're a branch. Branches are passive. Break the branch off of the tree, doesn't do anything. It won't bear any fruit. You can go to that tree all day long, it won't bear fruit. So the only way you can bear fruit is to be in him. That's called faith. Faith is where I totally trust in his promise, not in my works. His promise, faith. My works, they won't get me there. None of my works are perfect. I can try, but I just won't be perfect. I'll tire out. I won't do it just right. I don't care how you start, you won't finish. Whatever you've started, for me, I'm about 2 or 3 years behind on everything. I mean, I'm always planning to do stuff, but I don't always get it done. Is there anybody else that you wanted to do it, but you just never did do it? And so I'm always behind, and I can hardly wait to retire someday so I can get caught up. I can hardly wait, but I doubt I'm ever going to retire. So that's going to be a problem, because I'll never catch up. Then I'll have to go to heaven by faith. The only way I can get to heaven is not by being good, not by performing. So relationship precedes performance. Relationship precedes. I'm not saying you don't perform. I'm just saying you don't perform. But you can perform if he's in you and you're in him, if you're in relationship. So if you're tied close to God, in other words, if you believe in his promises, not his laws. So those are his laws over there. You behave. Here's another one, a better one. I'll do it for you. I'll do it in you. I'll do it through you. That's a better one. So I'd rather be related to God than depend upon myself. I'd rather depend on God to keep his promise than me to keep his law. Simple. This is called passive righteousness. That one's called active. What if God were the only actor in the universe? What if you're not an actor? In other words, every act you make is not really perfect. What if God is the only actor who gets something done? He actually does what it was supposed to do. What if I ought to do it, but I don't? I should be perfect, but I'm not. Well, then I can't rely on myself. I can't depend upon myself. I have total dependence on God. So, if you don't do it exactly right, you're a sinner. So the only way you can not sin is to have faith. If you have faith, you can't sin. Faith in what? Faith in myself? No. Faith in you? No. Faith in government? No. I mean, no, you can't have faith in anything except God. So God's whole, this is why I'm much more important than, you know, who's running for president. Because I've learned a truth that they may or may not know. And even if they did know it, I think it's easy to lose it. I think it's very hard to remember what I just said. Is passive righteousness is all God's ever wanted. In other words, he doesn't want you to obey. He does not want you to behave. He does not want you to behave. He wants to behave for you, then in you, then through you, so that he gets all the glory. Why? Because he's the only one that's good. He's the only one that's smart. He's the only one that knows everything. He does everything. He knows everything. He is everything. I think it's better to be related to God than it is to be on your own, independent of God. You remember Adam and Eve, they ate that apple or whatever they ate in the garden, and then God said, you're dead. He meant, you can't get now to heaven because you don't have a relationship. Remember I said not to eat of that tree? You ate of it, now you're dead. And so we don't look dead. We don't feel dead. Doesn't appear that we're dead. Looks like we're doing okay. That apple was good, by the way. So how many know people will sin? People will sin. And they enjoy it. Yeah. Maybe just for a season, but nevertheless, for a few minutes, every little kid in the world always loves it when you say, hey, get over here. And they just run away. I just love little kids that do that. And they think they can outrun you. And then you just chase after them. Of course, you don't go very fast. Because they just think they can run. They're so full of energy. Or they'll take all their clothes off. Put those clothes back. They won't do it. They love doing it. They just love being naughty. Have you ever noticed that about kids? Well, we're the same. You're exactly the same. You run around without your clothes on. What is your clothing? Is it your works, your goodness? No. It's actually his promise. The only thing you want to be clothed by is, Daddy loves me. Mommy loves me. You know, God is your beloved. And he wants you to marry his son, by the way. And so he's not only your savior, forgives you. He's not only your Lord that changes you. He's also your bridegroom that's going to marry you. So let God do it all and don't help him. Don't help him. Why? How can you help him keep his promise? You can't. So when God makes a promise, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise. He'll keep it. If he says he never will, then he never will. What if I sin 10 times? It won't make any difference. 1,000 times, it doesn't matter. 1,000,000,000 times, it doesn't matter. So if nothing is dependent on me and everything's dependent on him, I would say he's God. I would say I'm not. But I'd like to be in relationship to him, and the proof of that would be I do perform. I actually do, but I didn't do it. He did it. Because of the relationship, I now perform. So in the Catholic understanding, in the Buddhist understanding, in the Hindu understanding, in every religion, their understanding is that you have to do something to merit God's favor, to be right with him, to be right with him. You want to be right with God? You want to be righteous with God? Keep his laws. Do what he says. Obey him. I don't like that one. I like this one better. Ours is the only religion that says, just believe that God will keep his promise for you. He made you. Let him redeem you, let him sanctify you, let him purify you, let him bless you, let him perfect you, let him marry you, let him do it all. How many know when you get married, your husband's supposed to carry all the burden?
Amen.
When you marry, the wife should not be the one carrying the burden so that the husband can sit down at the table and, you know, she has to bow down beside him. As is in many parts of the world, that's the way it is. The women still in Uganda, for example, do bow down to the men sitting at table. And the women stay in the kitchen. And the only reason they come out is to bring the food and then go back. They're not allowed even to stay. You see that? I don't know who made that idea up. It could have been a man. Could have been a man. I don't know where they got that idea. So if a man came up with that idea, it makes sense. But I don't think it's a woman's idea. But nevertheless, in those parts of the world, you'll be beaten if you don't. They will punish you. So I would say it's better the Jesus way than it is to go the cultural way. I would say those cultures are wrong. So I have literally been changing the culture of Uganda. About 10 million people in Uganda now do it the Jesus way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And that's going to change the whole culture. Amen. That's 1/5 of the nation. 1 out of every 5 people is listening. 52 million people Praise or something like that. All right. So if this message is right, and I know most of you won't remember it, because you're tempted always to do something. Because there's pride in that. I did it. That's what God doesn't want. Or you'll be depressed. I couldn't do it. That's everybody. You're either proud that you did it, or you're depressed because you didn't. How many know that is not a way to live? So all civilization is built on a few people doing great and wondrous things and everybody else marveling. That's not civilization. That's a bad civilization, where a few people are proud that they're great, they're the president or the great businessman or the great pastor or the great anything. I don't think greatness is for man. I think God wants all of us to be meek and humble, serve his purposes. What are they? What must I do to be doing the works of God? Answer. Believe. Only believe. That'll make sense. I mean, there's nobody here that can agree. You know that's in the Bible. But nobody here can agree that it's passive, not active. He doesn't want you actively to do anything. He wants to do everything. He wants to be the only actor in the whole universe. That's why Satan fell away. Because Satan was proud. It said he was lifted up. He was proud. He didn't like the idea that God was going to marry a man rather than an angel. Remember, he was the top angel. He was the archangel. But he got proud that he thought, no, what are you going to do? You're going to marry Alex? Oh, no, that guy's a dirt bag. He's no good. He's made out of dirt. We angels aren't made out of dirt. How many know angels are not made out of dirt? God spoke them into being, but they're fluffier than we are. They're not just dirt people. But God said the opposite. Go in the other door. I knew they were. They were ashamed of themselves for walking in like that. But don't say anything. Yahoo! Amen. How come only 3? Where's that other one? She's heading for hell. You'll have to pray for her. But at least you guys are going to heaven. Praise God. How many know you don't have to do anything? God doesn't want you to do anything. God doesn't care that you do wrong things. God does not care that you've done a wrong thing, except this. He only cares because you're not happy. If you try to do something, you will be depressed. If not in this world, then in the next. I'm just telling you, if you do anything to help him, you did it. You'll be proud, then you'll be depressed. You'll be proud, then you... Anyone that exalts himself will be humbled. Anyone that humbles himself and says, I'm not going to do anything because I don't know how to do it right, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to rely on God to keep his promise to me. That's passive righteousness. That's active. I can't do active. I'm going to put it differently. Faith is not a work. Faith is the foundation of our religion. Amen. It is not a work. It's totally believing in God's promise. Faith has an object. God made a promise to Abraham. That's it. Okay? Now, Jesus fulfilled that by coming. God sent his son in the fullness of time, 4,000 years into the world. He sent his son. When Jesus came, he fulfilled all my righteousness. Everything I was supposed to do, he did it. And he did it, not for himself, not to please God. He did it because what pleases God is for him not to do it for himself, because God just gives things. He wanted you to do nothing so he could do everything for you, then in you, then through you. That's a good father. That's a good father. Jerry, that's a good father. You do everything for others. Why? That's what fathers do. Fathers take all the burden. They don't put any burden on anyone else. So a good man is someone who doesn't do anything. How many know we have a lot of good men in this church? A lot of good men. They don't do anything. That's good. We call them lazy or something. I call them faithful. They're believing in God. They're just trusting that, hey, what I can't do, didn't do, wouldn't do, God does. God does. Yahoo!
Okay, so she walks through. That's confidence.
Yeah, that's okay.
Perfect.
You go to heaven now. If you hadn't come today, praise God. How many know you don't go to heaven because you do?
Amen.
You don't go to heaven because you do. Mm-hmm. Or you don't go to hell because you don't. Mm-hmm. The only reason you go to heaven is because faith in Jesus Christ to come and get you. Do you know that he's going to come and get you? He's going to come back and take you there. You're not going to go there by your own good works. You don't have to find the way. You don't even know the way. He says, I am the way. Mm-hmm. So, do you all understand what I just said, intellectually at least?
Yeah.
Okay. I know the minute you leave here, you will think of doing something. And you'll be proud that you, well, I did the right thing. I just taught you that you can't do the right thing, ever. You'll never be right with God by doing. You can only be right with God by believing.
Praise God.
I think it's Acts 16:20, which said the jailer came to Paul and Silas in the jail. And he said to him, what must I do to be, you know, a Christian? How can I do something to get like you guys? Because you're happy in here. And God obviously likes what you're doing. And they said, oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Ah, that's all? That's nothing. That's not even a work. That's just trusting in him, relying on him, depending on him to keep his promise. You see how, and I guarantee you, Christians do not, they've heard this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but I guarantee you, they haven't done it. Because most Christians want to do, they still have pride. They still want to do something, control something. They don't like just waiting on God to keep his promise. They like to help him out. And we can make big civilization. America's having a problem right now, trying to figure out how not to be right with God, but how to, you know, make it, how to survive. Well, you're not going to. Because there's nothing you can do. Your only issue is, did you believe or not? If you doubted, there's no hope. If you believe, you don't have any problems. Once you believe in Jesus doing everything, then you don't have any problems. Now, how many then are happy, not because you did something, wrong or right, but because God did something, always right, always for you, always on your side, always for you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Can anyone then feel sorry for themselves? No. You can if it's works. If it's on works, you could feel sorry for yourself. Hey, I did a lot of work and nobody gave me credit. People punished me when they just abused me and used me. So what? What does that have to do with anything? If Jesus is for you, who can be against you? Why worry about what people did or didn't do? Why worry about what they should do and could do but didn't? Who cares about all that? Forget all that. You're not under a law. You're under a gospel. You're not under bad news. You're under good news. You're not under death. You're under life. You cannot fail over here because God always keeps his promise. So this is called passive righteousness. I do not believe in someone saying, here's how most of them preach it. Okay, God did something you couldn't do, but now it's your turn to finish it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you can start it. I don't believe you can keep it. I don't believe you can finish it. I don't think you have anything to do with it. I think everything is done by God, and it's already been done 2,000 years ago. It's over. I know you'll see it later, but you don't need to see it to believe it. We walk by faith and not by sight. So, I don't need to see how it works. I'm not interested in it. I don't have to see it. So I believe that the keeping of the law is a worthless thing that does nothing. You know why? Because Jesus keeps the law for you by a promise. So I'd rather have this promise that Jesus does, and he keeps all the law. Because love is the keeping of the law. He loved you, God loved you, sent his son to do it for you, for you, for you, for you. I don't know if you have a love relationship with Jesus or if you have a works relationship with religion. God is not into religion.
Thank you.
That is man trying to climb the ladder to get up to heaven. I mean, no, there is no ladder that you could climb to get you to heaven. You would fall off about 14 feet up. Or 25 feet, or 50 feet, or 1,000 feet. If you climbed a ladder at 1,000 feet, you still couldn't get up. That's a long way. You couldn't even get a mile up. That's even further, 5,280 feet. That's hard too. You can't climb that high. Nobody can climb that high. It's hard just to climb a mountain that's that a mile up. There are some that are 2 or 3 miles, okay, but you can't climb them without running out of breath or freezing to death. it's really tough. So people they're happy that they climbed Mount Everest or something, or some little hill here in Texas. But the truth is, the only hill you need to climb is Mount Zion. Amen. That's where Jesus died. For you. You don't have to die. He did it for you. So, how did you get here in the first place? Jesus. How do you stay here in the second place? Jesus. And how do you finish and get perfected? Jesus. So there isn't anything else but Jesus. So I am totally happy all the time. Why? Because of Jesus. 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 Not because of my works. I am not a good worker. Does anyone else have the gift of laziness? I don't think that's a gift of the Spirit, but nevertheless, that is certainly a work of the flesh, because everything you do, man, in his best state, altogether nothing, nothing, zero, vanity. Wicked. It's wicked for man even to do something and think he did it. God doesn't want it. You should be like a little child. No one can come into heaven except like a little child. What do they do? Nothing. They just come into the world and they cry and poop and so on. That's it. They're not doing anything. They don't ever come out and say, Mom, I'm here. Let me help you. They never do that. They don't help you. They keep you awake every couple hours. You have to get up again. They start crying. Ah! They want you to do everything. Ah, good picture. That's the way you should come into heaven. You just cry and poop. That's it. Just always, you know, hey, I need food, or I need attention, or pick me up, or hold me, or something or other. That's little kids, totally dependent on God. And then we raise them so that they can behave. We do. We try to get them to behave. But as every child knows, there comes a point in their life where they don't want to. Year and a half, 2 years. They already don't want to. You take that shirt off right now. Don't want to. That shirt is dirty. You take it off. Don't want to. Like my shirt. Every little kid is like that. There'll come a point where you realize that little kid is a person, not yours. That is separate, independent of you. Every little child will establish his independence by the age of two. By the age of two, they're already a person. No. I love it. I love it when they go like that. No. They just position them so they put their hands like that. No. And they're not sure what you're going to do. And so every little kid is going to do that. They do that in school, too. There will always be one that will stand against you. Is that true? Every year. You've got one child in that class at least. And then as soon as he does and gets away with it, there'll be two and three and four and five. Pretty soon everyone will go, no. Because they'll realize their power, their strength in that word, no. So, does God care? No. Does a good teacher, is she thrown by that? No. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Jesus loves me. The teacher is on my side. The teacher will put all the weight, all of the responsibility on herself, himself, to teach. Not for the student to learn. I never blame the student. I always blame the teacher. If it's a good teacher, they'll learn. They will know where their kids are. They'll know where they are and where they ought to be. And they'll put all the weight on themselves to bring them to where they ought to be. So that's a powerful thing in teaching. Why? Because it's costing you a lot and them nothing. They just sit there and, you know, some pay attention, some don't. But it doesn't make any difference. It's up to the teacher to teach, not the student to learn. And if you don't make it interesting, they're not going to learn. If you don't make it easy on them, they're not going to learn. If you don't have a sense of humor, they're not going to learn. And little kids figure out right away which teachers demand a lot and which ones they don't care and which ones are easy to fool and deceive. They figure it out right away. And some kid will always rise up and try your patience. He'll watch you very carefully, and then he'll test you, or she. Now, God wants everyone to do nothing, misbehave all you want. You're his son. You're his child. You're his beloved. You're the one he created. Let God take care of it. Let God make the promise. He doesn't have to make a promise, by the way. God could stay in heaven and just let everybody go to hell, but he won't. He sent his son down and said, tell him, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want you to shed your blood. I want them to kill you, and then you respond by loving them and forgiving them. That's what Jesus did, to show you the love of the Father. Look at his love. He doesn't care that you did all the wrong things. You do. Well, that's silly. You don't really care. The reason you sin, because you wanted to. I mean, when you sin, you want to. Oh, I didn't know I sinned. Yes, you did. Of course you did. You knew you were not doing God's will. You knew you were not doing what God wanted. How many know that we do it all the time? All the time. Every day, we all fall short of the glory of God. Even if you're a Christian, even if you're a pastor. Pastors fall short every day. I do. That's why I get up 2, 3, 4 in the morning and spend a lot of hours and hours and hours in prayer. I did the day. I always do. Why? Because I have so many sins. It just takes me a long time to confess them all and see what it is he's looking at. Maybe what I'm looking at is not the big one. Maybe it's hidden. Because God knows, ooh, that may not be the right one. I was thinking that would be the one. How many know that God has different ideas of what's wrong and right? Maybe my sin is not that I sinned, but that I didn't believe in his goodness. Maybe my problem is that I didn't really believe God cared for me. It isn't so much that I did exactly what he didn't want me to do. It's more, what do you think when you do something that God doesn't want you to do? What do you think his attitude is? Love, mercy, kindness, gentleness. That's God. I mean, no, God is for us. If God is for you, who could be against you? Who could ever stop you? Al-Qaeda? Homosexual, you know, teachings and so on and so forth. All the junky stuff that people do. He doesn't care. He's not nervous about that. I hope you're not. I hope you're not afraid of getting a bad president. I hope you're not thinking one of them is an angel. They're all got a little devil in them. And some have a little more devil. And so on and so forth. And they're all just people. They're just people. People, people, people. I don't know. All people are people. I mean, it's something I've noticed. I've noticed that all people are people. In other words, they all have sinned. Sooner or later, even the ones that pretend like they're good Christians, they'll do something nasty. They'll do something phony, fake, hypocritical, lukewarm, etc., etc., etc. So it's easy to pick out people's sins. If I preached on sin, we'd have a big church. If I preached against sin, don't sin, I tell you, the place would be packed. Because they're trying to figure out, geez, you know, What he's saying is, don't sin. I think I have. I better listen to carefully what you got to do to get rid of it. Don't have to do a thing. That's why nobody wants to come to this church. They don't want to come to a church where you don't do anything. They want to come where they could be, you know, number one, sit up, you know, have, be in the choir or be the pastor or something like that. But here you don't do anything. God does everything.
Amen.
So I don't mind being a little church. I'm just happy to be able to have people that are just failures, worthless, no good, double-minded, hypocritical. I love it. I see the sins in all of our church members, and I love them. Why? Because we don't care. All I care is that, do you believe that God is good and that God loves you? I don't care how many sins you do, you're not going to go to hell because of them. No one will ever go to hell because they sinned. They're going to go to hell because they chose not to believe that God is good. We just sang that song. God is good all the time. We just sang it. If God is good all the time, why aren't you in relationship with a God who has all the power? He has all the, you know, brilliance. He has all the knowledge. He has all the capacity. He has everything you need, and he's on your side. Why wouldn't that be the only issue in life? For me, that is the only issue. So, passive righteousness where you don't do a thing. You don't earn it. God has never paid a wage to anybody for doing any work, because you've never done any work in God's sight. Everything you've ever done, go straight to hell. Everything you've ever done, vain, foolish, empty. Jerry.
What are your thoughts on the uncertainty that exists when you're struggling with something that you think may be between those two chairs?
There isn't anything between them.
Okay.
And no, it's a great question. And everybody, you know, would like to stay in the middle, gray, but it's black and white. It's just clear. Clear as a bell. You're either passive or you're active. You can't be both. You cannot be both. If you're active, you are not passive. If you're passive, you cannot be active. So here's what I'm saying is the truth is that the pastors are not saying what I just said, not just words, but actually living it in such a way that they live it and then that they're giving other people that freedom. You're not a slave. You are free forever. This truth sets you free. That truth binds you. You want to live in the house of bondage? You want to live in the house of liberty. What made America great, what made Texas great, was they wanted to live in a house of liberty, not bondage. Today, we are back in a house of bondage. Even though we could be free, we say free, we say all the words, but it's the church that's at fault, not the politicians, not the businessmen. Not the society. We have a divided society. I know we have corrupt politicians and businessmen. I don't care. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? So I have a bigger message than presidents. I'm not interested in businessmen. I don't care how many billions or trillions they have. It means nothing. There's only one issue. This is all the treasure right there. Do you believe in Jesus?
Amen.
Do you believe that God sent Jesus Christ down on earth to tell you this truth so you believe? And then be set free forever. Not just for this world. Next world too. Now, if you finish with the future first, you'll be free. The future is that God guarantees your future. He forgives all the guilt of the past. There's nothing to fear of the future because it's all passive. So the only thing to do is laugh. Enjoy yourself. Be like a little kid. You know, Willis, your little girl sat next to me here, you know, before the church started or just as it started. She just sat there wiggling her hands and stuff. I'm going to camp today, you know. And she wasn't thinking of Jesus or anything. She just, yeah, I'm going to camp, you know. And she was showing me all her little whistles and lights and stuff on her chain. So it was great because she's totally no burden, no care, no worry. I'm going to see Jack today, you know, whoever. And she has a bunch of friends. She's going to go do something. Well, is it going to be right now? No, not right now. You know, she knew exactly. So she was totally comfortable. She was totally smiling the whole time. I sang out of tune. She didn't care. You know, she didn't even notice. Wasn't even paying attention. All I'm trying to say is little kids are in great shape. Why? Because they don't care about doing anything. They're not trying to please anybody. They're just doing what pleases them. That's what God wants out of you. Do you have that childlike faith that there's nothing to do because it's already been done 2,000 years ago. In fact, it was done 6,000 years ago before the foundation of the world. Everything was done then. All the works that you're doing now that are of God, if they're godly, He did them way back then. You're just walking in them today because you believed. By believing, you it's just like plugging a lamp into the wall. As long as that lamp is not plugged into the wall, it doesn't produce any light. So, but if you plug it into the wall, the light comes on. That's you. Until you're related to Jesus through that plug, that umbilical cord, that connector, you can't do anything. But the minute you're tied to Him, you're a branch in His tree, boom, fruit comes out. But that's because you have a relationship, not because you have a performance. The performance comes from the relationship, not the other way around. Don't perform in order to have a relationship. Have a relationship in order to perform. Do I need to say that again? Because I'm going to have one of you stand up and say what you learned today. So, this is the easiest teaching in the world, but it's the hardest one to get a hold of because it's too good. It's too simple. But I tell you, it's powerful. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want to begin at verse 13. I want to begin at verse 13. I'm sorry, not 13. I want to begin at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified.
Where are we at again?
2:16. Galatians 2:16. I just told you what Galatians is all about. It's all about passive righteousness, not active. It's all about passive righteousness, not active. But you'll never remember it. I can guarantee you, you will not remember it. Because the devil is out to get you confused. I just made it clear, but the devil will try to get you confused. It's like those little birds that come along and eat the seed as soon as it's sown. It's like little birds steal it. And so the devil doesn't want you to know this because it's good news. You'd be happy. You'd be happy for the rest of your life and for all eternity if you ever got a hold of this simple truth. I did. I was a scoundrel. I was a bad guy. I was not good at all. Never was good. Never tried to be good. I did behave good only when you were looking, but I didn't do it out of my heart. I just did it to, get my way. So I was never good. I was never decent. I was never kind. I was never loving. I was never merciful. I was never anything. I was just me, selfish, totally. Everything you're not supposed to be, that was me. Everything you weren't supposed to do, I did it. I didn't care. I had no law on me. They have bad words for what I was, like sociopath and all that kind of stuff. But I don't really care about their words. I don't care what their words are. I did it anyway. And I'm unapologetic, almost like Trump. The guy just tells all the stuff he does. Not quite, because he's more moral than I was. I was not moral at all. None. I had no warmth in me toward other human beings at all. I just use you and abuse you, and I don't care. I can steal from you, lie to you, cheat you, and con you. And I have no guilt at all. Never. So that kind of person is the one God loved and said, Jim, how's that working out? Are you happy? No, because I want to go to the top. I mean, I don't want to be just third or 18th. I want to be number one. How many also are liketh unto me? Secretly. I mean, I know, secretly. I was open about it. But how many know that you're as proud as can be about yourself?
Amen.
I am awesome. I don't know if you look in the mirror and say it, but I did. I used to look in the mirror. You're awesome. And so I don't care. I'm like that wicked witch thing, It's like, you are the most beautiful or whatever. I don't care because I didn't care. I didn't have any laws, no rules, no authority. No one ever told me what to do. You see, if you did, I would just wait until you weren't looking and I would do the opposite. And I was happy doing that. I enjoyed doing that. I never felt guilty. Never, 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 never. So can you imagine a person like that? I think there's two or three in the room like that. Could you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, that's good. But you're all liars. You didn't raise your hand. Because everybody does it. Everybody's for themselves. All we got to do is abuse you and we'll find out. You'll squeal. You'll make noise. So everybody is wicked and nasty and bad. So the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, that was me. I didn't even care about God. I didn't even go to church till I was 11, and I didn't like it. I mean, so I never went to church. I just grew up, you know, I had three different fathers, and only the third father forced me. But, you know, other than that, I didn't have any religion or any morals. Nothing, no code. Just, hey, don't go outside without a raincoat. That was about my code. I mean, I didn't have any real code. I never tried to behave. I never tried to be good. I never tried to like anybody. I didn't care about friends or anything. I would sell anybody, use anybody. Now, is there anybody else as mean as I was? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it again. Alex, you're like that. Raul. Willis, I'm putting you on world television here. Okay, so, you know what? God is not mad. God did not hate me. I would have hated me. I would, if I'd have ever met anybody like me, and there are lots of people like me, by the way, I wouldn't have hated them. I wouldn't have hated them. But I would not want to be their friend. So I was not a good friend to have. Because you never knew when I was going to steal what you had, or lie to you, or deceive you, or trick you. Now, Peggy has learned that through being married to me. It's like, you mean you lied? Yeah. You mean you just deceived me? Of course. It's like, how naive can you be? Of course. I just used you. I married you because I knew you were abuse-proof. I mean, I could abuse you over and over again, and you'd let me get away with it. Amen. I'm a good picker. I picked a good wife. I mean, no, Peg's a good wife. Because she felt it was wrong to criticize me. I love that. Because I was a complete jerk, idiot, bad guy. And she was always shocked. That's not right, she would say. And I would always just laugh. I never do what's right. I do what I want to do. I always do what I want to do. I always do exactly what I want to do. And to hell with everybody else. Now, that is not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. I don't care. Because I don't look like a bad person. I look very nice. But it's a deception. But Peggy knows what I'm like at home. And so there you have it. Now, Jesus changed all that by him coming and saying, I love you just the way you are. Just as I am, without one plea. You don't have a plea. You don't have a hope. There's no hope for me. We were not only dirt poor, more poor than almost anybody. We lived in the lowest, what we call poor white Irish trash. And, you know, I didn't know any better. It didn't matter to me that all my family were in the mafia. It didn't matter to me that my mother slept around. It didn't matter to me that my grandmother had four husbands and all this stuff. I didn't care. It just was life. That was just the way it is. Wasn't the way it ought to be because I didn't know what ought to be. And I didn't care. I didn't care about right and wrong, just and unjust, good and evil, lies and truth. I didn't care. Now, as I grew up, I never even read a book all the way through school till I was a junior in college. I never read a book. Can you imagine? I cheated on everything. I lied about everything. Always. It makes it easy. In other words, I always did what was easy. I never did what was hard. And so if there's a short way, like you could go into a store and then pick up the item you want and go to the cash register, or you could just go into the store, steal it, and walk out. It was easier to walk out without paying. Not only that, I had more money. I had all my money still. So I stole things all over the place. Not just small things. That was just when I was young. I stole big things too. And nobody ever knew. Nobody ever caught me. Ever. Because I was very good at deceiving people. I used to practice in front of the mirror how to look innocent when I was guilty. I knew I was guilty. I knew there was no such thing as gray. There was only black and white, and I always did black. That's it. I wanted to. I chose to. Now, I'm a pastor. Isn't that funny? That's a joke. You have to know God has a sense of humor. Because he called me, and he looked at me, and he went, you know, you're the one I'm looking for. You've done everything wrong, and you're going to continue to do it. I didn't want to be, you know, like the emperor's helper. I want to be the emperor. That's it. And I don't want to be second or third or 18th or resilience or whatever. I want to be top. And how many of you know I didn't make it? And that was a problem. Because if you're ambitious and you're proud and you're arrogant and so on and so forth, ambitious, when you fail, it's fatal. It's because I was realizing, you know what? I'm not going to rule the world. That was depressing to me. That was a depression to realize I always do what I want and I'm still not happy. I always get what I want because I just take it. I mean, I don't need to earn it. I can just take it. Now, since I did that, Jacob, don't follow my example. But since I did that, I learned a lesson, which is I'm still not happy. I want more and more and more. You cannot satisfy a person that's greedy, that's proud, that's ambitious, that's egocentric. You cannot satisfy such a person. That was me. And so I understand sin, and I loved it. I did not hate sin. I never hated it. Even when other people did it to me, I just thought, you're clever. You beat me that time, but I'll beat you next time. And I liked the challenge. I loved it. I never accepted second. I'm not accepting it. So that can drive you to win. I think a lot of our politicians just want to win. I don't think they're really interested in being servants of the people. But now that I'm dead to sin, because I did it through faith, not through works. I was never a good worker. I was always lazy. I always didn't want to do it the hard way. I always wanted to do it the easy way. But now, I'm doing all those works. You know why? Because of relationship. Through faith. By Jesus Christ. So now let's read what the 16th verse of chapter 2, Galatians, says. Knowing that a man, we know. Actually, the Greek has the word oidetes or eidotis. For we know. For this is something we know. That a man, anthropos, for a man, a natural man, a created man that God has created, is not made right with God. Dikaiosune in the Greek. He is not made right with God. How is he made right? By the works of the law. That's that chair right there. Act of righteousness. I'm not made right with God. I can do all that I want to do over here. I'll never make it. You're not made right with God by keeping all the laws, by doing everything you're supposed to do. But the only way you do it is by non-works, by Jesus doing the work for you and in you and through you. By faith. Just by faith in Him. Rely upon Him. Rely upon His promise. So that's my whole life now. My whole life. And by the way, I became a pastor, still breaking all the laws. But after I was a pastor for a while, I realized, and people liked, you know, all the words I said, but I was just lying to them, just deceiving them. One day I stood up in front of my church in Fort Worth, and I just said, by the way, I'm lying to you. I'm a phony and a fake and a liar and so on and so forth. I just thought I'd tell you, give you a chance to fire me or, you know, kick me out or whatever. But I just thought I'd tell you that because I don't really care. I'm not having that much fun lying. Lying takes a lot of... You have to remember when you lied. Am I telling the truth or what?
For sure.
You know, you have to remember, what was the last lie I lied? I forget. And so I had to have a very good memory to be able to lie so much and cheat so much and deceive so much. But that day I decided not to do it. Don't tell me why. I don't know why and care about it. But I did. I got up and said, I'm a complete phony, a complete liar. Everything that's a hypocrite and a liar and a fake, that's me. I just thought I'd tell you the truth today. I don't know why. I just want to. Because I'm planning on doing something else rather than this. This is not getting me, you know, wealthy. It's not getting me a big ego or anything. And most of you are not even Christians. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, none of you are Christians. I know it. Because I've been here for a whole year. And I can tell you're all phony and fake. It's just that I'm saying it, you're not. I'm going to just tell you the whole truth. And I did. So, only two families left, the Balls and the Fierkas. Those are the only two. They left. And I had a little list. In case anyone wanted to leave, I had a church here. For you, you're going to want this kind of church right here. They'll give you what you're looking for. Here, church for you. But everybody else stayed. It's like, don't stay. Because it'll be hell to pay. I'm just telling you, it won't be what you think. Because I'm going to look for God. I don't know the guy. I know about him. But I don't really believe in him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Nor do I love my neighbor as myself. But I'm gonna hunt for him. Why? Because what I'm doing isn't working. And so the rest of you should leave too, if you're smart. Go away. Or fire me. I don't have any problem with that. I want to do something else anyway. But I did hunt, and I did it for 7 years after that. For 7 years. Three, two. How many? I can't see that far. 2 years. For 2 years.
Okay.
I did something for seven. What did I do?
I was in seminary when you heard God speak to you.
Okay.
Before you heard God.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Very good. Peggy is awesome. She won't let me lie or exaggerate or anything. Was it two? Okay. Anyway, the point is I was a phony and a fake and a liar. And so when I did meet Jesus, which was 2 years apparently, when I did meet him, it was exciting. I went just automatic. I went from this kind of life to that kind of life. I went totally from doing all the bad stuff I was doing, and I went straight to believing in Jesus as my beloved. And I just fell in love with him because he was for me. I would never be for me. Nobody would be in their right mind. Oh, I know why it was. It was because of Kara, our oldest child.
Yep.
She was born, and I thought to myself, wow, I'm going to have a little girl. I know she's going to love me because I'm a fake and a liar. I know she's going to think I'm awesome. And then she's going to find out later, after she's two or three or something like that, that I'm a phony and a fake and a liar. Because little kids that love you, they're actually going to watch you real close. And then they're going to see you do something wrong, and they're going to catch you on it. You see what I'm saying? Because she had love for me, because I knew I'd fool her. I'd just fake her out. And then she would catch me and say, "You're a hypocrite." And she'd find out I was a hypocrite. And I thought, that's not a good reason to bring a child into this world. God, I know I don't believe in you, but if you're a God, why don't you find me? Apparently, I'm not supposed to find you. You're supposed to find me. So do your job. You got 2 years before she can catch me. I know it's going to be at least 2 years before she'll catch on that I'm nothing of what I say I am. How many know a lot of Christians and a lot of pastors are not what they ought to be? They're opposite to what they ought to be. They have all kinds of secret lives.
Right.
As far as I know, I'm the only one that got up and told all my sins. Just said, okay, I'm a rotten, no good person, and it doesn't bother me at all. And I don't care if you like it or you don't. Do what you want to do. Do what you're going to do. I'm giving you a chance. So if you don't want to take it, that's your problem. And nobody stood up, by the way, when I said, if you think you are a Christian, stand up on your chair so we can all see you, and I'm going to rifle you. I will show you that you're as bad as I am or worse. And nobody stood up. So they lost their chance. Now, today, I'm totally opposite. I'm totally in love with Jesus. Why? Because you don't have to do anything. It fits me perfectly. It's totally designed for Raul. Raul, this is your kind of religion. This is better than that Catholic thing where you had to behave yourself and so on. This is better than, Baptists where you have to get up and be a hypocrite and a liar and go out on the back porch and smoke. In my case, I don't care what you did secretly or whatever. You had beer in the refrigerator or whatever. I don't care. But people would always hide that stuff when they see the pastor coming. They'd always hide it. So I'd go right to the refrigerator. Wow, I see you got a lot of beer in there. But I'm in love with Jesus, and I wanted everyone to know Jesus. And I'm still doing it all over the world. And it's powerful. I tell you, people want to know the truth. I don't know in America if they do, but I know in other worlds, oh my gosh. In other countries of the world, people are hungry to know the truth. They'll walk 25, 30 miles by foot. They'll just walk to get to the church. And they don't want it to be over in 15 minutes or 20 minutes. They want it to go on and on and on.
Okay.
They'll worship for 2 or 3 hours before the minister even stands up to speak. I'm totally at home in Africa. I love Africa. And India. And China. And all those places, because people just flock to hear somebody from Texas. they just can't believe it. They think you all have oil wells and all that stuff because they watch movies. They see JR and all that stuff. Think everybody in Texas is like that. Well, they're not. But I tell you what, I'm having a great harvest. You know why? Because I'm good? No. I'm still no good. It's just Jesus is good. My only goodness is that I believe I'm not, and he is. The only thing is I'm clear about is I am a devil apart from him, but in him, I'm a saint. How did you do it? Passive, not active. to watch carefully what Paul, who's going to agree with me here, knowing that a man, just a natural man, is not justified, made right, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be made right by the faith of Christ. So by his faith, well, the English is not accurate. The English is not accurate. It isn't that Jesus has faith. There's nothing in the scripture that says Jesus ever had faith. It's saying, in truth, what it's really saying. I can read you the Greek and you can see what it's really saying. What it's saying is, there's either the law, that chair, or there's the faith. Now, the faith is a noun, and so is the law. That's what you call a that's what you call an article. So when it has the definite article, the, it means the law and not another one. And the faith and not another one. So what it's saying is there's two things you can rely on. Either the law and then you have to behave, or the faith where he behaved and you don't have to, he has to keep his promise. Every word coming out of his mouth was a promise to you, even if it was a law. It was a promise. It wasn't. It was in the form of a law, but it actually was a promise. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham. And that promise was anyone who believes in Jesus would be saved. So that's why Jesus came down to say, all you have to do is believe. But it's not a work. There's nothing, a work under a law. There's no consequence if you don't believe, except, you know, you're not going to go to heaven. So you had to actually be born again. This was a new birth. And so I died to my old self. I didn't like doing always what I wanted, because I realized it didn't lead to happiness. My wife wasn't happy at all. She didn't like what I was doing. And so, you know, she was totally unhappy. Peg, what are you unhappy for? Everything's fine. I don't know. Okay. Well, is it because of what I've done? I hope so. But I don't think so. And so she found out that she wasn't unhappy because of what I didn't do or did do. She was unhappy because she was unhappy. She came from a whole family of unhappy. And their grandmother was unhappy. And her grandfather was unhappy. Everybody was unhappy in her miserable family. Hello? Hello? Yeah. But my family was a billion times worse than hers. But I didn't care about them because I had no love for anybody. If you don't hope in somebody, you can't be disappointed. I never made a commitment to anybody. And my mother tried to abort me over and over again. And obviously it did not work. Shows how ineffective she was. Now, why was she ineffective? I don't know. But grandmother told her, if you don't get rid of this little kid before he comes out, your life is ruined. You better get rid of him. And so she tried over and over again to get rid of me. And I asked her, tell me how you did it. Because I want to know how clever I was to avoid those things you put in and those, you know, different deals that you took. Because how many know women know how to abort? In the old days, it was against the law, of course. And they had to do it with coat hangers and all the kind of junky stuff. But you didn't want anyone to know in society that you had aborted. So you had to just throw the thing out or whatever. Well, I tell you what, she told me all the ways she did it. I said, wow, Mom, you were awesome. You failed at your job of getting rid of me, but I was so smart, I knew how to avoid all that stuff you poured in and stuck in and all that stuff. Thank you. Thank you for that. Mom didn't think it was funny. But I told her, I love you, Mom, because you brought me into the world with no man. There was no man. We had three women, three families living together in a little two-car garage, and cousins and all that stuff. Now, what happened was we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. We were poor, 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 poor. Wrong side of the tracks. But God liked me. Amen. God liked me. And he sought me out. And I rejected him over and over again. Hey, I don't want to go to religion. I hate hypocrites, and I don't want to be one of those. I'll just stay away from religion. I'll just do my stuff. But God sought me out and said, Jim, you don't have to do anything. What? That's crazy. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You got to do something good. I don't have anything good in me. No, I love you just the way you are. Wow. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I'm sure there's a little hook somewhere. I'm sure you want me to behave somewhere. Because I'm bad. I'm so bad that if I ever became a part of the church, I'd ruin it. I would absolutely ruin it. Because I'm ruthless. But I didn't know Willis at that time. And Sam. And Jerry. And Andrew. So how many know everybody's naughty? Everybody. All have sinned. Bible said it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All right, but here's the issue. You want to be actively righteous? Then you could go to heaven, but nobody ever has been. Or you want to be passively righteous? That's the way Jesus was, because he did what was active so that you could be passive. He took care of the whole thing. One-stop shopping. And I found everything I was looking for. Ever since that day, I was completely, 100% happy. No fear, no anger, no nothing. It was all gone. I didn't need to do anything now because Jesus loved me. He's the first person in the whole world that loved me just as I was, not as I ought to be, not as I should have been, not as I could have been. He loved me just the way I was. I fell in love with him. I really did. And it was a miracle. And everybody that knew me knew that that wasn't me. But I was really a Christian, whatever you're supposed to be in the Bible, just like Paul completely changed his life in a second. That happened to me. And I completely changed. Now, I didn't change my behavior. I just changed my heart. Do you understand what I just said? I didn't change my behavior. I still did all the stuff I did. And even now, I keep that up every once in a while. I'm on a one-a-day plan. Every day I try to sin, at least once a day, to keep me humble. No, that's all silly, because I don't even think about it anymore. I'm so in love with this person named Jesus Christ, who made the promise of God 2,000 years before that come to pass for all mankind, and especially me, in my case, that he wanted me to be married to him, and I believed it. I took it. And that disciplined me from then on. I didn't work at it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just being me. Just exactly what I always was. And if he left me, I'd go right back to sin. I'd be ruthless again. I'm good at it. I'm very good at lying, cheating, stealing, and exaggerating, and conning, and so on and so forth. Very, very deceptive. I am like a dog-eat-dog person. But I'm not in that anymore. I'm in Christ now. I believe that Jesus Christ will keep his word, not only to forgive me, not only to change me, but to perfect me and then marry me and then give me the whole kingdom of God. Woohoo! Amen. Who for the joy that's set before me, Cynthia, I'll endure the cross, despising the shame. I don't care what other people do. I don't care about other people sinning. I know what sinning is. I could sin right back. I don't want to. I don't need to. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I'm happy, Jacob. I'm totally happy. I don't need money. I don't need friends. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. If I lose it all, I lose nothing. I have a relationship with the living God. Who did it? Not me. It just came and made me an offer I couldn't reject. You mean you love me no matter what I've done in the past and no matter what I might do in the future? You mean you love me just the way I am? Yeah. And you're going to do it all? Yeah. Okay. I'm taking it. Passive righteousness. What'd you learn today? Passive. That there's two ways to do it. And what you learned in that verse today was that no human being, no man, no natural person, or no religious person, unless you're born again, no religious person is going to ever please God. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he used to, is impeccable. He was the opposite of me. He did everything he was supposed to do. And he did it with all his heart and soul and strength, as far as he knew, until he met Jesus. And that changed him. So even though he was winning, he was the top religious guy. And everybody knew he was going to be the King of Kings and he was going to be the high priest and, whatever. And he was excited about that. He was being trained by Gamaliel, his teacher, to be the top of the top of the top. I was the opposite. I was going to be the top of the top by cheating and lying and stealing and whatever. But came out the same. He met Jesus, it's over. I met Jesus, it was over. Jesus showed me that God doesn't want me to work. He wants to do all the work for me. And that everything he's thought, everything he's done, everything he's said, everything he feels is always for me, for my good. I don't know why that appealed to me. Being a selfish person, that was even better than what I had in mind. I just wanted to be the emperor of this world. He wanted me to be bride of Christ. He wanted me to go to heaven eternally and be the bride of Christ. Well, I hope you're blessed today.
Amen.
Anybody want to give a testimony? No, you weren't blessed?
You said
yeah.
Early on, trying to remember exactly what you said, but relationship
yes.
precedes
performance.
Performance.
Right.
And it occurs to me that performance requires relationship.
Totally.
Because if we don't do that, if we don't relate,
right.
we'll just fall in the hole.
Right. Right. Totally. You got it exactly. And if you can keep that, if you can keep that, I don't mean by working. I mean keep it by faith. That God made that promise. You don't have to get ready for him. He will make you ready.
Amen.
I don't know what it says. It says the bride shall make herself ready. It doesn't mean what it says. What it means is the spirit of the law, not the letter, is he is in you to do that. So the bride is the bride of the bridegroom, and it's the bridegroom that she has in her mind, in her heart, in her soul. And because of the joy that's set before her, she'll endure anything because she's in love. She sees now, this is the one. This is the one God has promised to me. Wow. So he established a relationship with me. No one can take it away. There's nothing you can do because it's not up to anybody on earth. You can't even touch it because Jesus in heaven is coming back for me. And if I die or people torture me or whatever, he's still going to pick me up and say, Jim, how was it? It was great. It's great. I don't care. I don't care what people did or didn't do. I'm free. I have no bonds on anybody. I don't have any expectations of anybody to do anything for me or with me or through me. I don't care. I don't care. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus. It's all I needed.
Amen.
How many know you're not going to have anybody else?
Amen.
That's right.
There's nobody else. I got one mediator between me and God. It's
Glory
the man
God.
Jesus Christ. Boom. That's my husband. I don't have the law as my husband. I don't have wickedness as my husband. I now have Jesus Christ as my husband. Perfect. Perfect. Right. And I'm docile. I'm meek now. I'm no longer afraid, worried, nervous, etc., etc., greedy, lustful. I don't need any of that. I don't need it. Why? I got everything. Do y'all have that? Do you have that, Sam?
Amen. Yes, I do. And the only reason I have it is the affirmation that I get from you and your this teaching that I don't have to work my way to anything. All I
right.
have to do is believe. And all my sins are forgiven. Yeah, I'm still going to sin.
Right.
But you know what? They're still forgiven. And
right.
they're still... anything good that happens. And people, man, Sam, you're the best guy. You're a great guy. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm horrible. Only good that ever comes from man
right.
is through Jesus Christ.
That's
Amen.
It. That's it. You got it. Anyone else? You want to?
I'm just excited about believing all over again.
And, good.
And no behaving.
No behaving.
And you know what I have to say? God really has downsized me to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun.
Right. It is.
I never know what's going to happen each day, but every day is sweeter than the day before. And I love his divine surprises of just believing.
Surprise every day.
Every day.
His love. Every day. Surprise you. Willis.
Hebrews 4:9-11. Therefore remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his.
Praise.
Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's a rest.
That's what it is. You understood it. Thank you. That's a miracle.
Amen.
That's a miracle because it's so simple that it's hard to get. It's hard to get it because it sounds too good. Everything else sounds more tempting. Don't. That'd be witchcraft. If you fall back onto works after you've been born again and you fall back, then you're not going to go on. You decide to turn back. You put your hand to the plow and then turn back. Don't. Stay. Why? Because you don't do anything. Why do you want to go back and labor again? Why do you want to go back and lie and cheat and steal? I tell you, it's too much work.
Amen.
I mean, I was always thinking.
Jim, I have to tell you the verse that really I wake up with is, I would grow faint-hearted if I did not believe that I'd see the goodness of God show up in the the land of the living in my everyday life. So
that's
I
it.
Really importune God because yeah. I just want to see him show up.
See, that's a miracle. That she cannot come to that except God give it to her through his word, through
he's
his
so
spirit.
Good.
Yeah, you don't have to be good. He doesn't want you to be good. He hates that someone thinks they have to do something to please their parent. I know Margaret never did anything to please Mom and me. And I know she did many things that would not please Mom and me. So what? I never changed. You know what? God can love me that way. I'm loving Margaret that way. As a matter of fact, I took it as a really affirmation that she could come home and do bad stuff. And I loved it because it was like she must know she's really loved unconditionally. That's good. She could be anything she wanted to be. Did you know that people are looking for a place they can go just to be themselves?
Amen.
Wherever you can just be what you really are,
yes.
That marriage will work. That family will work.
Amen.
That place of work will work.
Amen.
Anything else is not going to work. Be comfortable where you are because God is comfortable living in you.
Amen.
And living through you to glorify himself.
Praise
Nothing
God.
Else. Take a rest. Stop working. Stop laboring. You're the best. You're the best, Andrew.
Amen.
You are blessed by God.
Amen.
You don't have to do a thing.
Amen.
You can do everything wrong. You're still loved. I know your mother loves you.
Amen. Is that
all, all the time, too.
Yeah, right. And you don't have to do anything. That's how powerful it is. That's how powerful it is. Don't be what people want you to be. Don't be what God you think wants you to be. Just be. Whatever you are, God loves you. Just the way you are. Let him do all the work. Let him do all the work. Let him do all the work. He's like a maid or a butler or, you know, a cook or something. Let him do it all. He loves that kind of thing. He loves to serve us. I did not come to serve, to be served. I didn't come to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
That's him. What a wonderful God.
Amen.
Man, he'd serve. Serve away. We sit at table and he's working. I love it. Isn't it cheating? I'm telling you, it is. But he wants to do it. No one's making him do this. He voluntarily left heaven. Father, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me.
Well.
All right. God is good. God is great.
Yeah.